Why are we looking at this? Well, let's remember what we're doing. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to show you about six or seven verses in a row, so try and stick with me. Look at 1 Timothy, that's the New Testament, near the end of your Bible, chapter 4, verse 7. And this is where this whole series started. Actually, we started looking at this idea of the stewardship of our lives, and what I began in 1 Timothy 4, 7. This is what Paul said. He says, at the end of the verse, exercise or discipline yourself toward godliness. And so we began this progressive look at what encourages a godly life. And our current study is what I'm entitling the disciplines of a godly life. First, we examined the discipline of Scripture and looked at how the fact that Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so if we'll get into this book on a daily basis, God will show us what he wants us to do, the path of life. If we're in this book, then we are abiding in his presence, and we'll have fullness of joy. And if we do what he says, we stay at his right hand, which means under his authority, and we have endless pleasures. I mean, it's the best life there is. The discipline of Scriptures. Then we went from there to John 7. If you want to back up to John's Gospel, chapter 7, we looked at the discipline, the second discipline of a godly life, which is the discipline of a Spirit-filled life. And it's the Holy Spirit, as Jesus uses the image of a strong river flowing out of us. And it says in John 7, verse 37 through 39, "On the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and said, 'If you thirst,'" in other words, if you want to drink the cup of salvation, see the parallelism there, "let him come to me." We come to him, believe in him, trust in him, receive him, "and drink." And that's a present active imperative. Now, what is all this about? He continues, "He who believes in me," that's John's description of being born again, believing in him. Look at this. "As the scripture has said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." So beautiful how all the scripture relates together. "Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What's this? John continues. Look what he says. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given." What's he talking about? When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And that second discipline is the discipline of walking, of having a Spirit-filled life. And how do we do that? By not grieving the Holy Spirit, by not quenching. Remember I told you about one of the buddies turning the water off in our house and how everything just went down. And that's what we have to discipline ourselves to, not go anywhere, do anything, expose ourselves and participate in things that crank down the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The discipline of keeping full of the Holy Spirit. And then last time we looked at the discipline of stewardship. And if you want to go to Romans 12, just so you understand where I'm headed in this concept of stewardship, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body." He said, I want you to give yourself. In fact, really what we should do in the offering is walk around and have the ushers put a little plate on the floor and have everybody just step onto it, because that's what God really wants. A lot of people just put in a little money, but they don't give themselves. God would rather have you than your money. If he has you, he has your money. If he has your money, he doesn't necessarily have you. See, the idea is God wants us to first give ourselves. And that's what we're looking at right now. The stewardship of the discipline of being a steward. Stewardship is of our lives. It's the stewardship of living. It's a life given back to God as an offering. That's what stewardship is about. Stewardship is not about money. It's about life itself. It's about me presented back to the Lord. It's about me saying, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. It's about me saying, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want to present myself back to you. Well, a godly steward, we saw last time, knows that God owns him and everything he has. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about. What does that produce in our lives? Well, that makes us love the Lord because he gave himself for us. It makes us obey the Lord. We saw in Luke that if we're owned by the Lord, if he is our master, that he has the right of disposal. He can tell us what we do with our lives, yield ourselves to him and obey him. We have to resist. We looked last time at resisting the temptation to cheat him by holding on to things he wants from us. And so we obey the Lord and surrender to him. Now, look at the next book. We're in Romans. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Because I want to show you just about three verses to continue this idea of stewardship. If we have this lifelong habit of believing and following and calling on the Lord that I talked about in Psalm 116, it really ties together with 1 Corinthians 4:7 because it helps us confess that all we have came from the Lord our Master. This is what Paul wrote to these people in verse 7. For who makes you to differ from another? How come you're one way and your friends or neighbors or whoever is different from you? And what do you have you didn't receive? I mean, I've been to the hospital often. I've never seen a baby holding anything in their hands when they're born. I mean, they don't have title deeds. They don't have cars. They don't have degrees. They don't have education. They don't have anything. They come in with nothing in their hands. And so everything in life we receive, we didn't have it. It came, and here we find where it came from. What do you have you did not receive? The Lord says it came from me. Remember, every good and perfect thing is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from him. But look at this. Now, if you did indeed receive it, everything, your spiritual giftedness, your eternal life, even your life's breath, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? You know, this is such a humbling verse. As stewards, we realize that everything in our life comes from the Lord. Even my life's breath. Remember what Daniel 5? Remember Daniel was confronting the king of Babylon, and he says to him, the God in whose hand is your life's breath? He says, God's holding your breath, your heartbeat, your life existence. He holds, and he can stop it in an instant if he wishes. So what does that mean to us? We need to confess that all we have came from our Master. In fact, that's what 1 Corinthians 4:7 is all about. A godly steward is one who confesses that all they have came from their Master. And if it came from him, why do we act like it's ours? Why do we glory in it? Why do we show it off? We say, all I have belongs to you, for all I have, what? Has come from you.